tell you something that's going on. Levy and Delia haven't been back to the revival lately because they know that when they're there, they become a focus of attention, and they don't really want that. They don't want to draw attention away from what God's doing, and they don't want to become celebrities or some kind of sideshow thing. Well, I tell you, I love Levy and Delia's character. You know, somebody's character really shows when they're in a position like they are, where Delia, for those of you who don't know, had a miracle about 4 weeks ago, and after being paralyzed for 22 and a half years, got up out of a wheelchair and began walking. And so, and ABC News was at the revival Friday, and the guys, Nick, one of Nathan's team, was telling me about behind-the-scenes stuff where, you know, the guy was trying to, in fact, Nick said he had his computer, the reporter, and broke it out he said, well, let's look at this video. And Nick said, yeah, your version. So, because they have their own version, but mine has gotten 155,000 hits, and so they're not happy about that. No, they are happy. They love it. But it's a joking point between us. But he said that the guy from ABC, though, was really trying to say, you know, it looks to us like she pushed herself out of the chair, and then you guys dragged her around the room. And they said, yeah, no, you need to look again. She's picking up her feet, and she's walking. And you know what it made me think? Some say it thundered. You know, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Some people would just say, it was just thunder. That wasn't God speaking. That was just thunder. And, you know, you're not going to convince them otherwise, but we don't need that. But anyway, let me tell you what's happening with Delia. Levy told me that last Sunday, they just left her wheelchair in his office. Said that she walked into the sanctuary up on the stage. He said, typically, here's how a service goes. She'll lead worship just from a chair, not a wheelchair, from a chair up on stage. She'll lead worship as she always does. And then he'll start to preach, and sometime during his message, she will stand up and walk over to him, and people rush the stage to get prayed for. He hadn't finished a sermon in 3 weeks. That's funny. See, he doesn't get to preach anymore. You know, and I know that, listen, I can't tell you the details on this, but I will tell you things that, I mean, something that nobody knows, just so you know their character. You know, Levy has gotten calls from people all over wanting to help him make money off this. And he has prayed for mercy for their souls. And he's getting calls from, you know, great big churches all over the world wanting him to come and do a week here and a week there. And I'm sure offering him all kinds of money, but he's turning them all down flat. Because he said, Mark, he said, the thing is, we got to learn how to, he said, our lives have been changed. He said, we got to learn how to walk this out in our house, at home, in the home church. We got to walk it out there first with our people, and then we'll see. And they, you know, the revival, they want Delia to come back and minister and sing. And Levy said, when it's time. See, I love that. See, that's when character comes through. So I just want to give you an update of what's going on there. So if you want to go visit his church, you're not going to hear him preach. So you should turn in your Bibles today to a very familiar scripture. I want to just look at it a new way for just a few moments here. Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm. I don't know that I've actually ever preached on this before, simply because it's too easy for preachers, so to speak. In other words, it's a kind of a go-to passage, and you don't want to be cliche, and it's been preached on and written on so many times, but what could I say to it? But the Lord took me there this week. When I was a little boy, you know, and I've heard somebody else talk about this recently. When I was a little boy, we played outside all the time. I mean, y'all remember that? Before the days of DVDs and video games. Yeah. Do it. Barefooted, we played outside. Exactly. Climbing trees barefooted, for crying out loud. Having dirt clod wars. You know those? Until some kid would pick up a dirt clod that had a rock in it, and that ended the whole thing. So we would play outside, and we'd play in the neighborhood. But then there came a certain time of the day, some of y'all remember this, where you would begin to hear the voices of the mothers ring through the neighborhood. You remember that? somewhere around twilight, a mom's voice would just, I mean, moms had voices in, like who knew? But they would just call. And it was that whole thing of, you know, like Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. You knew when your mom, and the thing is, you didn't go in until you heard your mom's voice. Amen. And if you made her call you twice, you better hurry. You didn't always have to go the first time, but the second time you need to start going. But there came a time where in that part of the evening, we would get called into the house, and your mother's voice would call, and you, except the voice, the Breelands. Remember the Breelands? They had, their mom had a triangle bell. Ding 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 ding. So we knew that was there. But whatever happened, we would be called into the house. And I want to show you something. How in Psalm 23, the Lord is calling you into the house right now. I think it's one thing God's doing today is calling you into the house. Because when you go into the house, see, you go into the house because it's your house, because you're a son, because you're a daughter in that house, and because in that house you're protected, and in that house you're provided for, and in that house, the grade you made on the history test, you're either comforted or applauded by, you know, the father. And so in that house you're promoted and you're provided for and you're protected in the house. And there are some of us here today who just need to be called into the house. You need to be reminded that that's where those things are for you. We've talked before over the last number of months about what it means to be sons and daughters of the King. Sons and daughters of God. And what that means is primarily, I mean, I can't go into all of it. It's all on the internet. But what that means, though, is that as a son or as a daughter, there is provision for you. You don't have to be afraid. Amen. There is protection for you. You do not have to be afraid. Amen. There is promotion for you. You don't have to be afraid that your life will be insignificant. It's in the house because the Father's in the house. And when we go into the house and live in the presence of our Father, He gives us everything that we need. All right, I'm going to roll through this quickly. I want to show you a couple of things. First of all, I want you to see something. Psalm 23 is quoted a lot, and it's decoupaged a lot. You know, you find it on, you remember decoupage? Somewhere in somebody's house in this room, you have a wood stump clock with this verse on it. I bet, hanging on the wall with this passage. Psalm 23 is used a lot, you know, greeting cards, all that kind of thing. But here, I want you to understand something. The promises of the 23rd Psalm are not automatic. And they are not available for everyone. The promises of Psalm 23 are available for the sons and daughters of the living God. You need to understand this. They are only available and applicable to you because of what Jesus did on the cross for you.
That's right.
It was mentioned, we said last week, you know, Paul said, all I want to know among you is the preaching of the cross, Christ and Him crucified. Well, isn't that a little bit narrow to say that all I'm going to preach is Christ and Him crucified? Nope, not if you know what happened there. And what happened there was you were given the invitation to become a son of God. Now, we use that son generically, okay? It's for men and women, male and female. But you were given, and then in fact, that's what the verse means when Paul said at the cross in the gospel, there is no male or female. I mean, it's in the gospel, we're all sons of God, okay? So when you got that invitation to become a son of God, then you got everything that you're going to see in Psalm 23. Listen, there are people out there thinking that these things belong to them who have never given their lives to Jesus, and they don't get this stuff. I'm telling you, they don't get it. Because the Lord is not their shepherd. You understand? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. Do you know that if the Lord's not your shepherd, you don't get that stuff? That promise doesn't apply to you. I mean, we need to wake up, everybody, and understand that this is not God's greeting card for humanity. It requires a relationship with Jesus through the blood that was shed on His cross. So now, That having been said, if that is the case for you, here's what happens. Get this. There's provision for you. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside quiet waters. Do you know what sheep need? Green pastures and quiet waters. You know, I'm told that sheep won't drink out of turbulent water. So what sheep need is green pastures, quiet waters. They need food and drink. They really don't need much beside that as far as provision goes. They don't need a nice car. They don't need a third Blu-ray player at home. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I lack. Now, we know that we are more than sheep. You understand, this is not us saying, well, we're just sheep to God. No, you're sons and you're daughters. But in that relationship as sons, we have to understand that the Lord takes care of us. Remember who's writing this? Who's writing this? Remember? David. What was he before he was king? He's a shepherd. Can't you just see David writing this thinking, hey, I know what my relationship with God is like. You know what? God cares for me the same way that I diligently took care of the sheep when I was a shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. The same way that I always made sure that my sheep had green pastures, had green grass, and had still waters, had the same way that I always watch for them, God watches out for me. That's awesome. The Lord, can you see that revelation hitting him? Hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. Just like my sheep never need anything. I don't need anything. I've got everything I need. He gives me green pastures. He gives me still waters. He gives me everything I need. Now, you have to understand something. We take this to Jesus. Jesus, at one point, someone came to him and said, and let's see, I've got all these scriptures written down. I'll give them to you next week. We don't have time to turn to them all today. But Jesus, somebody said, hey, let me follow you. And Jesus said, you want to follow me? He said, let me tell you something. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Are you okay with that? You say, well, how could Jesus have everything that he needed if he didn't have a place to lay his head? Because everything he needed had nothing to do with a nice house. See, guys, now he had food, clothing, and shelter. He knew that. We see that in Matthew 4. He had food, clothing, he had Matthew 5. He had everything that he needed. But he didn't need a big fancy house. He didn't need a house to call his own. He didn't even need a little small house that was his where he could go home at night. By the same token, watch, I love this. In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who he wasn't supposed to talk to, but they were passing through Samaria, and he's talking to this woman because there was a racial divide here, and he wasn't supposed to talk to her, kind of like America in the 50s and before that. So he's talking to this woman, plus she was a woman, and that was double whammy. So he's talking to the Samaritan woman, and as she comes out and talks to him, he begins to speak into her life, and he has prophetic where he has words of knowledge. He tells her how many husbands she's had. He tells her the situation she's living in now. She becomes convinced he's the Messiah. She runs back to the town to get everybody from the town to come meet him. Meanwhile, the disciples who had gone to get something to eat, they came back, and they said, so what's going on? Jesus said, I'm having a good time. I'm having a God party here. And they said, well, do you want us to bring you something to eat? And he said, you know what? Man, I'm eating already. I have food that you know not of. And they went, okay, somebody else went to McDonald's for him. Who was it? Who served him before us? You're going to get it now. Because that's what they said. Well, somebody else has brought him something to eat. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. You know what Jesus is saying? Guys, if you had seen this encounter I just had with this woman, and she's coming back with a town full of people who need me, I'm telling you, I ain't hungry anymore. I'm satisfied. I believe Jesus was so jazzed at that moment. At that point in time, he was saying, I don't need anything else. This is awesome. So how is it then that Jesus then would be able to say he lacked nothing? He didn't eat. He didn't have a place to lay his head. There were other things that mattered that he needed more than those things. You understand? Listen, we've got to let God show us what it is that we really do not lack. That he provides for us what we need. Jesus began to say in Matthew 4 and 5, he said, listen, you understand something. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. God, your Father knows what you have need of. And He'll give those things. He said, if you, being earthly, know how to give your children good things, how much more will your Father give good things to those who ask? See, Jesus put it all in context of sonship. So in Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2, God is calling us into the house. He's saying, listen, you've been running around outside trying to provide for yourselves. You need to understand something. You're trying to get stuff for yourself that you don't even need. You come into my house, you live in my presence, you dwell under my glory, and I'll show you what you need. What you need is the presence of God. What you need is to see Him working in people's lives. What you need is to see the hand of God moving in the earth. That's what you need. I'm telling you, when you're in that, there's nothing, there's no food anybody can offer you that matches that. There is no trinket or bauble or bling anybody can offer you that holds a candle to that. When you're living in the presence of God, listen, the Lord's your shepherd, there's nothing you lack. You get green pastures and still waters, and He feeds you. He waters your soul. It's amazing. In fact, there's a verse that says, he who waters, waters his own soul. You know, I believe one thing happens in revival is I get to pray for people down there, man, God is watering my soul. He's pouring all back in on me. See, that's what we need. All right, so provision is there. Now, again, there is promise for material provision. Man, that's part of your inheritance in the Lord. So don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. If you're going to pursue anything, pursue the presence of God. Don't be chasing after the right clothes or how much can I eat. I need to make sure that I never have to go hungry. Don't be afraid of hunger, everybody. Don't be afraid of not wearing the most stylish, most recent clothes. I mean, for crying out loud, if all you've got time and money to do is go to Goodwill and find somebody's cast-offs, wear it.
Amen.
Now, there are preachers around the country that would just come, take me down for that right now. And I'm not saying I think the Lord wants all of us to go dress in Goodwill clothes. I'm not saying, but what I'm saying is, when you are living in and experiencing the presence of God, you really don't care what you wear.
Come on.
Do you understand? You really don't care. It doesn't matter. It's all right. It doesn't matter. See, that's freedom, everybody. That's freedom. We get to that place where we're just so consumed by the fire of God in our lives. I don't care where this came from. I'm wearing it. It just keeps me from being arrested. I don't care how much it costs. I'm just, hey, here we go. That's freedom. And if the Lord wants to bless you with some nicer stuff, man, receive it. Receive it from the Lord. But you don't have to run after that. All right. Next two verses, look. There's only six verses in the whole book, so that's not bad. Next two, verse 3 and 4. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. And even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. And Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. This is protection. We've seen provision. This is protection. There's protection in the house. So God is calling us into the house and saying, this is where I will protect you. See, now I want you to see how this speaks of protection. That verse 3, He renews my life. Do you know what that is? Okay, I mean, think about it for just a moment. What do you think that's talking about prophetically? He renews my life. What do you call new life? I call it resurrection. He renews my life. I might also call it being born again. See, he said, the psalmist said, David said, he gives me new life. Now, guys, you got to understand something. When he wrote this, there was no way to have new life. It wasn't available. You couldn't be born again. There wasn't any resurrection from the dead. I mean, every now and then, God would raise somebody from the dead, but it wasn't like it was readily available. It was just like it is now. Woo! So, but he said, he renews my life. He gives me new life. The Lord protects you from death by giving you new life. See, that's your protection from death and decay and hell, is He gives you new life. He protects you. He said, He renews my life, and it quotes further. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. All right, now listen. The Lord, I'm going to say this quickly. God will, in fact, He takes it on Himself to lead you along paths of righteousness, the right path to take in your life, the right road, the right thing to do at any moment, the godly way, the highway of holiness, as Isaiah says. He will lead you there. He will take you there. And in doing so, He protects you from the things that happen when you are not walking on that road. You understand? Listen, when I am driving on the road, I am protected from all the things that are not on the road. See, when I drive on a road right now, I am protected from hitting the trees that are on the side of the road, as long as I stay on the road. Now, if I get off the road, listen, I give up my protection. You understand? If I veer off the road, I willingly give up. Now, at that point, I am vulnerable to every tree that God planted on the earth. If I veer off the road, I give up my protection.
Amen.
So the Lord says, I'll protect you by leading you on the paths of righteousness. But here's what I want you to see, everybody. Oh, Father. When you grow in the Lord, when you live, when there's godliness in your life, when your life is right, when you're on that highway of holiness and the blessing of God is on you because you're walking godly lives, listen, do you know why He brings that righteousness into your life? Besides just the fact that He loves you, do you know what He's doing? He says, I will lead you on the paths of righteousness. Why? For my name's sake, God makes you holy so that He can be famous. Here's what that means. Your promotion is taken care of, but God doesn't give you holiness and righteousness so that you can be famous for being so good. He's not trying to give you a name of being a good person. He doesn't give you holiness and righteousness so that everybody will know how good you are. He gives you holiness and righteousness so that everybody will know how good He is. And that they can get it from Him as well, because He's good to you, He'll be good to them. I will lead you on the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. So why in the world do we keep looking for our names to be made great? Well, we want everybody to see how good we are. I want everybody to see how faithful I am. Mark, if I'm going to fill out this volunteer form, I'm going to serve somewhere, I want people to know how faithfully I serve. Well, why? What for? Can't we just do it for His name's sake? And I'm not even talking about just serving a church. I'm telling you, whatever it is in our lives, say, Mark, you know, the people I used to hang around with, I've been really good, and I don't, you know, smoke, drink, cuss, or chew, and don't hang around with girls that do anymore. And I want those people to know how good I am. Why? So that they can say that you're good? Or so they can say that God is good. I'll lead you on the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. And when that happens, you're protected. See, there's a protection that belongs to you when you stay on that road, that highway to holiness, that narrow way. All right. There's so much more I could say, but I'm not gonna. All right. Verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. You know what this is? This is the fear of the unknown. When I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. If you're going through a dark valley, what is it that you're afraid of? It's what you can't see, right? You're afraid of what might be there. I remember when I was a kid, I tried every way in the world to figure out how to turn the light off in my room and get in bed before it got dark. How could I get across the room in that fraction of a second before it connected and the light went out? I did figure it out one time, didn't I, Kathy? You remember this? My bed was on the other side of the room, and so I got some kite string. I'm not lying. And I ran it down the wall, behind the bed, around the nightstand, around the other bed on the other corner, down that wall, under the dresser, over a nail, and duct taped it to the light switch to turn it on. I had another string that went the same path, but up from the bottom of the dresser up to the light switch to turn it off.
Did it work?
It did. I had I had paper labels in the end of the strings, on and off. Why didn't your mom buy you a table lamp? Because they didn't have those when I was a kid. I know it. We didn't have lamps. We just had the switch. We just those. And I did. And that worked until Dad came in one day. My dad came in, and to modernize our house, he replaced it with a push button switch. Messed me up. I tried to think of how I could get a hammer, but it didn't. But do you know why we do those kind of things? It's because we're afraid of what's in the dark waiting for us. And so we think we're not protected if we're in the dark. But David said, here's what I know. Even in my darkest hour, I know you're with me. I don't have to be afraid of any danger. Why did he not have to be afraid? What was the determining factor? You're with me. Listen, let me just tell you right now, if you're in this room, if you've not given your life to Jesus, God is not with you, be afraid. Be very afraid. But he said, when I go through the darkest valley, I don't have to fear anything because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, the shepherd's crook, the shepherd's staff, he said, those are the things that keep me in line. They comfort me. I'm comforted by the fact that you have something to beat off the enemy with. It comforts me that you walk with me and carry a big stick. See, guys, this is a promise that you have as a son or daughter of the living God. If you are a son of God, then in your darkest hour, the Father walks with you and He's got the biggest stick in the universe. And there's not a force in hell that can stand up to that stick. Amen. I read this morning where a woman, I think in Canada, fought off a bear with a zucchini. I'm just saying, I haven't read the whole article. I'm just saying, if a woman can fight off a bear with a zucchini, I guarantee you the one true and living God with one flick of His wrist will smite all the forces of darkness on your behalf. Now see, that's protection. Amen. Give the Lord praise for that. That is your protection that you're entitled to as a son or daughter of the living God. And then there's promotion. See, this is the things God's calling you in the house for. Don't hang around outside the house trying to protect yourself, trying to provide for yourself. You're not going to find it there. I love plastic glasses. All right. I guess they're not really glasses if they're plastic. Okay. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. All right, now this is promotion. Here's why. We might read that and think, okay, God's providing for me. No, this is not provision. The point of this is not the fact that He's prepared a table for you. You got the table already. The point of this is that He's prepared a table for you right in the middle of your enemies looking on. He has prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. God, here's what He's doing. He is flaunting His protection for you in front of your enemies. He is rubbing it in their faces. Do you understand? God is he is declaring His love for you, demonstrating it in such a way that it puts them to shame. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, not because your enemies are everywhere, but because God wants them to know how loved you are. So you don't have to worry about it. Listen, God is at work right now in your life putting your enemies to shame. Now you need to understand something. When I say your enemies, don't automatically think about your boss. Right? It's not about people's faces. Your enemies are forces of darkness who are plotting to steal, kill, and destroy the glory of God from your life, because the easiest way to get to somebody is to go through their children. And Satan hates God, and so he wants to take you out. And so, God says, bring it on. God, He holsters His big stick where it's very visible. And He lays out a feast for you and He says, now, you are so protected, you can relax. Any of you ever been so nervous you couldn't eat? God says, you're going to be so comfortable being protected by me. There's not much that can keep me from eating. But God says, you're going to be so protected, so comfortable in that, it will not ruin your appetite that all your enemies are lurking around. Some of you guys have lost your appetite for life because you feel like you've been under attack. You need to understand something. God loves you so big that your enemies are afraid to attack you. You go ahead and eat. You are protected. And you are promoted. See, that's the thing. This is even more than protection. This is promotion. This is God setting you in front. He is setting you up in front of your enemy and saying, hey, darkness, watch this. Watch how comfortable he is. Watch how secure she is in my love. Look at that. Look, look, look. Look how comfortable, look how secure she is. See, she's just eating, enjoying life. See, you know why? Because she knows I love her. Get a load of that. And God shows you off being surrounded by his love. So why are you still outside the house playing? We need to get in the house. And then last verse, I love it. He says, only goodness and mercy. So he says, let me look at this version. Only, ooh, I love this. Only goodness and faithful love. Amen. What are the marks of a father? Goodness and faithful love. Here's what the psalmist says. Listen, I have provision. I have protection. I have promotion. And when I'm in the house, here's what I know. All I get in this house is goodness and faithful love. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me. I love that word, pursue, to chase after. Goodness and faithful love relentlessly follow after you. You can't shake the goodness and faithful love of God if you try. You couldn't shake it. You couldn't lose it. You couldn't throw it off, no matter how hard you tried. Goodness and faithful love of the Father will run you down, even when you don't want it to. You know, when somebody's pursuing you, it's like you turn around, there they are. It's like, y'all remember, here's my movie quote of the day. Y'all remember the old Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid movie? Anybody here seen that? Okay, people who are over 50, like me. All right. We've seen that. All right. But there's a scene where with Paul Newman and Robert Redford. I'm surprised there hadn't been a remake yet, but with George Clooney and Brad Pitt. But with Newman and Redford, yeah, they're robbing banks and robbing trains and all this stuff. And you remember, they keep looking behind them, and somewhere down the road, there's this posse that shows up wherever they are. You remember at one point, one of them turns to the other one and says, who are those guys? Remember that? That is God's goodness and faithful love. Even when you don't want it, you can turn around and the goodness and faithful love of your Father is always within your grasp. Even if you have lived in such a way that you don't expect it to be there, all you have to do is turn around and you say, who are those guys? The goodness and faithful love of your Father is always within your reach, always. No matter how many steps you take away from the Lord, it's always just one step back. Because you are being pursued. And he says, only goodness and faithful love will follow me all the days of my life. And what he says, and I will dwell where? In the house. Forever. He says, I know where my provision is. I know where my protection is. I know where my promotion is. Let me tell you where I'm going to live. I'm not going to spend my days playing outside. I'm going in the house. I don't know about you, but as for me, I'm living in the house. I'm going to live my life in the presence of God. I'm going to pursue being in the presence of the Father. I'm going to stay in the house where I have everything I need. I'm going to be in the house where I have my protection, where God promotes me. I'm telling you, there's nothing else I need anywhere other than in the presence and the glory of God in my life every moment of every day. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. See, guys, that's what's been happening here today, is the Lord has been calling us into the house. So even before I even talked about these verses, the Lord called us into the house. He said, just come in. Step in. The heater's on. It's cold outside. You know, the furnace is on. And so now God is calling you into the house. So there are some of you here right now that you've been spending your life trying to provide for yourself whatever you think you need. And you always think you need more. You know, I may have told you this, but Jim Hilton mentioned this, but there was a man, an acquaintance of his that years ago, knew the Kennedys and was a friend of one of the younger Kennedy's sons or cousins. And he met Joe Kennedy, of course, the patriarch, John F. Kennedy's father, Robert Kennedy's father. He met Joe Sr. And he asked him one time, he said, this, you know, multi-billionaire Joe Kennedy, he said, Mr. Kennedy, how much more money? Here's what he said. He said, Mr. Kennedy, how much money does a person need? And he said, I don't know, but it's always more. So here's a man, multi-billionaire, who said, I don't know how much money I need, but I know it's more than what I've got. Listen, guys, that view of life, that view of things, will strangle you. But that kind of view of the presence of God will change you. I don't know how much I need of being in my Father's house. I don't know how much time I need with God. I don't know how much I need just being His glory. I don't know how much I need, but it's more than I've had. And that'll give you life. So let me just, here's what I'm going to do. I just want to help you step into the house if you haven't done that today. In a few moments, we're going to pray and we're going to be dismissed, but we're going to stay here praying for people. We have a prayer team available, and I'll be down here. So if you're new today, I would love to say hello to you. So if you can hang around through praying for people, then I would love to meet you, but that's going to be a priority, okay? So, you know, guys, here, once again, just like early in the service, you have no idea how hard it is to know what to do next. Let me just tell you, I hope and I pray that you have encountered God in this place today. That's all. John Kilpatrick had a great word last night at revival. He said, you know, often what happens is in our churches, we leave. But when we leave unsatisfied, not dissatisfied. We weren't dissatisfied with the worship or the preacher or anything. It's not that we didn't like it, but we leave unsatisfied. Not quite satisfied. So my prayer today is that when you leave here today, you'll leave satisfied in your spirit. That you'll have heard God, you've encountered the Lord. Okay? Just stand with me and I'm going to pray for you. And then whatever you need from the Lord, you come and we're going to pray for you down here. Prayer team, why don't you come on up? Take your places. And be prepared for that. Father, in this place, Lord, we say to you, God, thank you just for revealing your presence here today. God, it's so good to know that as we met here today that we didn't meet without you. Yeah, we don't ever want to leave unsatisfied. And Father, we just say to you, it's good to be in your presence. It's good to be in your presence. It's good to hear your voice. It is just good to be with you. So, Lord, today, now, God, don't stop. we're just going to hang around and hear from you and meet you here. So, Lord, today, we say yes to coming in the house. We have heard your voice, and we are coming in the house. We are running home, bursting through the door, knowing where our life remains. So, Lord, we... thank you for all that you've given, all that you've done. And we welcome you. And we thank you for welcoming us into your house. So, Lord, now in this place, let your blessing flow. Lord, you, even as your word says, our cup overflows. As we flow with you, our cup flows over. God, let the overflow of your presence in this place fill every moment of our lives until we see each other again for more of your glory. God, let it increase. Father, increase your presence in our lives, even while we're gone from this place this week. God, increase it. Increase your word. Increase your glory. Increase your presence. Increase your voice. God, open our ears to hear you and our eyes to see you. We love you. May we never live a moment outside of your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for being here.